Good morning and welcome to an at-home episode with Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I'm Richard Fitzgerald in a different home.
in two different homes. Yeah, we can't see your background, Richard. We all would have liked a little sneak peek, but you're a very private person, so I'm gonna respect that. But I'm not gonna lie.
I would agree with you, but I'm not actually that private person. I'm not a big work from home person, so I don't know how to change the filters on all this Zoom stuff. So okay. I think I messed around with it once, took me 20 minutes, ended up with this blurry thing, and I'm afraid to go near it again. So that's it looks private, but it's actually just setting me.
Thanks for clarifying that you're not a work from home person. Yeah, we had no idea that. Yeah, we had no idea about that. You know, the entire city is flooded, but Richard actually made it to the office this morning and then went back home.
Yeah, the electricity in the office didn't work. The fingerprint. I did the Augustus Media board call sitting on a bench outside the office with the Wi-Fi, perfectly normal. I'm not a work from home person because I believe in the function of an office. I believe it, the Industrial Revolution, that what was manufactured 100 years ago, this thing called a maktab or an office, I think it still has a purpose, especially when you have content creation and studios. And also, go on about it, but it's like when you have people working together with teams and human beings interacting and knowing how to have emotional intelligence as their career grows, I think it's important. Anyway.
Absolutely. Hey, look, it's all about productivity, right? So the weather has been pretty bad in Dubai. It's the first time that we get this much rainfall since I think it was 1949, if I'm not mistaken. I read that on the news today, and it's been affecting everything from businesses to schools to infrastructure. But I just got a bit of a flashback from Corona times because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to pretend like I'm wearing this blazer and a full suit. I am actually wearing my pajama bottoms.
Great COVID vibes. Yeah, no, I get you. So it works. Just don't stand up and open the door in the background, you know, like as often happen people. And, you know, the Zoom stuff that go viral. Yeah, I think we've had some cloud season and weather stuff in Dubai, particularly in the last 12 months. But what we've seen on the roads, Lubnan, with businesses and airlines affected, people sleeping outside airports, people sleeping in their cars. It's bad and it's tragic and, you know, it's sad and, you know, it's easy to throw blame left and right. But you know, this is the weather, right? Like this is a storm coming from Oman. This is global warming. Like this is what we're dealing with. And as you said, you know, the show must go on. Dubai will bounce back. You know, on the call this morning, William, who's based in San Francisco, he mentioned that they have fires there quite regularly in California. And, you know, the thing is, though, that not many people learn from it and are well prepared the next time. Which maybe we can, you know, take a moment today and see how can we be even more prepared next time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Because everything is always perfect and kind of so perfect that it's so surreal sometimes in Dubai, it's nice to, you know, get that taste of reality and say, you know what? Yeah, I mean, I don't know, a little bit of a struggle sometimes is nice just to remember that we, you know, we do live in the real world. Everything is so easy here. Like one of my friends last night wanted to order food and he was like, I can't even get food into my house. I'm starving. I don't know what to do. I don't know. It's just nice to struggle a little bit sometimes in a city that's so perfect. And that takes me to the news today. The weather has been affecting mostly flights. There have been a lot of delays and cancellations. We just got an update late last night, early this morning, that Fly Dubai, and I think a lot of people saw that video of the Dubai airport runway absolutely flooded with water. We got news that Fly Dubai is suspending all flights until I believe it's the 18th of April. I'm going to check it real quick right now for you guys. Here it is. That video was absolutely fascinating, by the way. No one has ever seen that until today. So it's suspending flights On 17th of April, it's suspending all departing flights from Dubai. Interesting that. And it's not, I don't think it's just Fly Dubai. I think a lot of the airlines are going to come out now with statements. Surely it cannot be the only airline that is suspending flights. And we're expecting more storms today in the UAE.
Yeah, I think Emirates announced no check-ins until midnight tonight, so no additional check-ins if you haven't checked in already. I think Fly Dubai flights were suspended until midday today. So there's a lot of videos. There's a crypto conference, there's Token 49 taking place in Dubai, there's a blockchain conference. I saw videos of people, especially in from that, sitting out lying on camping outside Terminal 2, Terminal 3 in Dubai. It affected everything, but these things do affect business, and then we sort of get on with it. But yet, the airline industry, airline in particular, the transport, weather is always a factor, and their resilience and their speed of turnaround is always quite impressive as well. So, we've had 8 hours of dry time since midnight last night. I think the last major rainfall happened, kind of that big storm that was supposed to happen at 10 didn't. And then I've been driving around the roads, as you mentioned this morning, and it's just getting better and better by the hour. The sun is bright, it's strong, it does dry. It will sort of take about a week, really. And I just hope the people who are at home with electricity issues, another thing we could talk about is the insurance. We see cars just ruined. The insurance claims and where you insure it and all this sort of stuff. Obviously, people have car insurance, but the house claims, who do you blame? Is it the developers? Did you have house insurance? Like, that's the sort of the commercial knock-on effect, right?
It should be, that's interesting, and I think we are working on getting some experts to give us their insight about that. But a lot of residents have been complaining about very commercial building, commercial construction, developers like Azizi. Some people have been complaining, the roofs have been falling down. But then you see the same thing in Emirates Mall. We saw that with the roof over a Flying Tiger. That video went viral. A part of that kind of, infrastructure collapse a little bit in the mall. At both Emirates Mall and Dubai Mall were flooded with water. I mean, the infrastructure here is just not prepared for that kind of rainfall. Understandably, it hasn't seen that much rainfall for 75 years or so.
Yeah, we did see some weather impact in Oman, in Qatar. Amman in Jordan is fine at the moment. I had a call there yesterday. Our Riyadh office is good. The weather is slowly improving in Egypt. So, regionally, it's the UAE that's been affected most, and Oman in particular. A bit in Qatar, but not majorly there as well. So, yeah, regional business, the show will go on like all other post Eid conferences and events will be happening, especially in Saudi. Everyone is back to work and everything is just normal. And I'm sure after these few days, the UAE will sort of get back on track as well.
It's funny because we also reported that Dubai Airport ranked the busiest in the world for international passengers again for the 10th year in a row. I think Dubai just got jinxed. That's what we say in Arabic. Someone gave us the bad eye. That's our excuse for everything. Moving on to Eid, though, we've had two prominent businessmen, one from Egypt, talk about Eid holidays. They're saying they're too long, they're unjustified, and some businesses like banks need to stay open during the Eid holidays. So the first one is the CEO of prominent, it's a big retail giant, and it's one of the oldest in Egypt. It's called BTEC. It's both retail, brick and mortar, and e-commerce as well. His name is Mahmoud Khattab. He's the chairman and CEO at BTEC. He stirred a conversation on social media. He had very candid remarks about vacation culture in Egypt. Some criticized him, some agreed with him, but he said these long Eid holidays, especially after a full month of slow business in Egypt during Ramadan, and it was very different to Dubai here. In Egypt, it was kind of much, much slower. Dubai was still fast-paced during Ramadan. He's saying it's not good for business, and we need to change that. Emirati billionaire Khalaf Al-Habtoor, always in the media, very outspoken, very candid. He also said banks should remain open during holidays. He urged the government to reconsider the issue of closing the doors of banks completely during official holidays. But he did keep the workers in mind. He said, people should have the choice of working and not working. So he was pretty diplomatic about it. Usually he's kind of more candid. He was a bit more diplomatic this time. Thoughts? I mean, I do agree about the bank thing and the Egypt work culture for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the work-life balance is important, and how societies run and holidays, like it's a given, it's accepted around the world. So let there be holidays, it's fine. But I do agree as well on leadership, and I'm glad that business people have come out and said this, because sometimes people expect the best of everything, right? Like they expect to be handed things, good infrastructure by their government and everything in place. But then when it comes to actually doing the work, are the hours in the day and the days in the week and the months of the year, the reality is, Lubna, we're talking about the weather, the impact of the economy in Dubai and UAE in the last 24 hours is significant. It's hard to put a finger on it, but all the delivery in every sector yesterday, spend is down massively. Restaurants, if people are taking holidays, this is what regular people who don't really see the giants of business, and these two prominent business people see it. They see when people are unproductive that it affects their bottom line in that month, and an economy is the circulation of cash. That's what GDP is. The movement of transaction from one person to another, and the cuts in the middle, and just the free flowing of cash, whether it's banks opening, whether it's people showing up and doing an 8-hour shift and getting the minimum pay that was increased actually recently in Egypt, don't know the exact number, but that's one of the things that the government did. They increased the minimum pay in Egypt. I think it's from 600 Egyptian pounds to 12, 1,200 or something tiny amount anyway, but the average salary in the month. But yeah, so these are the things that are, maybe it's up to 6,000. We should check that. But so these are the things that, that not everyone understands, that like an economy is the sum of its output. It's the sum of productivity. If you work 6 days a week, you're going to make more money as a person, because and the country is going to progress faster. So if you take more holidays.
God forbid, Richard, we work 6 days, 6 days a week.
Yeah, well, God forbid we go on holiday all year. I agree with these guys, but I also agree with the current structure. Like you can't expect to progress as an individual if you take holiday all the time. People come to the reviews at the end of the year or whatever, and they've had like loads of holidays, loads of work from home, loads of sick days. Cool, right? But how, what hours did you put in? Everything's about what you put in and what you get back. If you do fitness, if you study for an exam, if you learn the language, right? So it's the same with work. And I don't think, and it's the same with building a country, it's the same with building a business, it's the same thing. But I think the Khalif Al-Habtour one about the, he's like, the UAE is a very capitalist country in terms of being open to business, very tolerant. And they changed the weekends, and they did this and they did that. And I think he didn't say no holidays, as you said, more kind of more diplomatic this time. But he did say that, like, we've got so many trillions of dollars of cash in circulation. And I when I read that headline, I thought maybe he's on about people going to branches, but that's not really what he's on about. What he means is that, Lubna, if you made a bank transfer on the 8th of April, it won't have come into effect until the 15th. So you're losing 8 days, even on digital banking. And this is the point. It's not about bricks and mortar, and it's about the banking days being open, the stock exchange being open, the free flowing of cash. And I think he has a point there.
Yeah, I do think he has a point as well. I'm surprised that someone like Mohamed Labbad didn't come out with a statement, because he feels very, very strongly about this. He doesn't believe in the life work balance. He believes in people working 24 hours if they could. He's very kind of strict with that. So yeah, I remember him making kind of similar comments about this topic years ago. But you know what really stuck out for me, Richard, is people who really took advantage of you know, this situation with the weather and businesses being down, there was one restaurant in downtown. You know, even the Rove Hotel was closed, and that's an Emaar, you know, hotel. There was one restaurant in downtown which remained open, and it was absolutely packed. Packed. I mean, I'm sure that restaurant made more. It's next to the double decker pub. I'm sure it made more than it did most days, because everyone that lived in that area was looking for, because all the deliveries were out, everyone was looking to get food, and they made so much money. So I love that they were being smart. It was a smart move. And also Kareem, the ride hailing, you know, the app that we all know and love, Kareem. They took advantage of this from an advertising marketing point of view, and they had those today's ride options. You know, funny kind of meme where you can get a canoe and a boat and a yacht for the day. So that was nice to, you know, and Kareem have always been on top of their you know, their marketing and advertising and social media. It's been cool. It's been fun to watch. Big things happening anyways, besides the weather. You mentioned the stock exchange. Spinneys is planning to go public with a 25% stake on the DFM, the Dubai Financial Market. That's another you know, move on the exchange that we're looking forward to. We've been seeing a lot of companies list. So that's a major move for regional markets. Spinneys obviously is a very well-regarded, well-known supermarket chain. It's one of my personal favorites. It's going to offer 900 million shares through an IPO. Thoughts, Richard?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think if we're counting, I think that's 7 of 10 that they promised us. You know, it's sort of semi-state and up until now, and then there's some kind of pure retail ones. We had Burjeel Holdings, the hospitals and the pharmacies, and
Yeah.
now we're having Spinneys. Yeah, you know, I think it's good. I checked the prospectus. I didn't read every one of the 246 pages, but I looked at the headlines. I saw that how profitable they are. I think they're $1 billion in revenue or something like that. And I think 70% dividends, 70% of profits that they'll pay in dividends every year.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of the Spinneys, you know, the history of the story, I think we'll go into more detail on Spashi, but the people who set it up in the UAE, it's a UAE success story. It's in Kuwait, Lebanon, a few places across the region. You know, so I think it's healthy. From the there's a lot of appetite, as we've seen, for these types of listings. And this is going to be one for the DFM. Last time we had ADX,
Yeah.
the first of the 25%, 95% of that is going to go to institutional. So the first tranche is 5% for retail people. It's going to list they'll do all their sort of, you can subscribe now. It's going to list on DFM on the 9th of May. So we've got a couple of weeks of hype, and we can tell the spinny story and the history of it. And we can go into a little bit more detail of Lubna, what you think of, you know, retail and bricks and mortar. You know, Amazon bought Whole Foods in the US. Walmart are punching around. They're trying to buy random things as usual. They're
Yeah.
all these companies are even trying to get into streaming and DVDs. I think Walmart are trying to buy some streaming
Yeah.
service and stuff like that. They were even linked with TikTok in the past. What, you know, I remember someone telling me the business model around Kipson's recently, and the Kipson's have sort of blown up here. You know, the blue box, the branding, the lovely app, the good quality food. And I always wondered about, you know, Lulu announced that they're going public as well. And now we have Spinneys. And I wondered around their business models, but they seem to be so entrenched that they're on every high street, that people know what to do. But for me, from the outside, they seem to have been very slow with e-commerce, you know, with Spinneys, it's particularly very, very slow with e-commerce over the years. And I think it allowed the likes of Kipling's to sort of steal a march there. And, you know, we saw the acquisition of InstaShop in UAE for a huge number that they were able to jump in there. And you have Etsy salad buying a grocer and Kareem even do groceries now. So I just think they've kind of missed a trick. Their profits are there. Like as an investor, you take the money, you take the dividends. But do I really believe that they're ripe for the future in this sector and they let people in? No. But do I think them being public will let them gobble up the Kipsons and sort of integrate it in the way that kind of Walmart and have done, then yes, potentially the brand is there and they're probably going to be around for a long time to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree with you about Spinneys, and even Schwarzkopf's. When we look at that, and perhaps you could argue Waitrose as well. Very slow when it comes to e-commerce, even on InstaShop when you want to order from those supermarkets. Even though they, Spinneys and Waitrose specifically do have more kind of high-end, high-value products, but the delivery time is always, if not double, triple the delivery time of other supermarkets, and you kind of wonder why it's taken them so long. But perhaps Spinneys doesn't need to, perhaps doesn't need to that much kind of go, jump on that e-commerce train. I don't know. They seem to be doing well.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? But they don't need to do e-commerce. They don't need to
No, I
be where
mean.
the consumer is.
Yeah, well, I mean, even small things like when you go on InstaShop and you want to order from Spinneys, it usually takes, if not double, the time of other supermarkets, which offer 30 minutes, 40 minutes. It's usually like, 80 minutes, 75 minutes, 90 minutes, the delivery time.
Point that they should either have their own service that's faster, like Kipsons is quite fast, or they do next day or whatever. But this is the thing, they let the InstaShop people, like they didn't build their delivery service even good enough, like irrespective of e-commerce, like their delivery wasn't as good as other places. Like
Yeah.
but like look, like the prospectus gives us an insight into this, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of private money that will go after this listing as usual.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, Abu Dhabi, lots happening for Abu Dhabi. We've all seen that picture of Sheikh Tahnoon at the signing of a deal between Microsoft and Abu Dhabi-based AI group G42. It's for a $1.5 billion investment from Microsoft into the group. It will give Microsoft a minority stake in the company, and its vice chair and president Brad Smith will get a seat on the board as well. The news comes after the Abu Dhabi company cut ties to its Chinese hardware suppliers, which had been criticized by, surprise, surprise, U.S. lawmakers. The U.S. just loves to criticize everyone. Holier than thou, as usual. Anyway, experts predict the investments will not only bolster the UAE capital as a hub for AI, but also help it create a credible reputation as a tech partner as opposed to a funding source. The US, everyone from the crypto guys to AI, everyone always sees this region as the place for funding, give us your money. But not necessarily, investing in this region or even taking that money and investing it here. So this is great to see.
Yeah, it is great to see. I totally agree. We've seen Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, courting cash in this region. And but look, like LoveNet, like Microsoft are the masters at taking little stakes. They took some with OpenAI. They had 1.5% back in the day of Facebook under different leadership. But Satya Nadella is a really good partnerships guy. Like he knows how to sort of do things without doing things. They were the tech behind the Netflix ads. He knows how to navigate the sort of antitrust stuff. I just don't really understand this. I don't understand. G42 is a holding company for AI. What does that mean? Like, what are they doing? Right? Like, they announced something late last year, their own sort of LLM, but we haven't seen much about what that LLM does. I don't think any of us use it, right? And then where's the 1.5 billion going? Is it for hardware? Is it to build data centers, servers, or is it software? I think there's a really good on the All In podcast, Shamat, I can't pronounce the second name, that well-known US commentator, he did a really good analogy about AI, and he said that he compared it with refrigerators, that the refrigeration system, no one owns it, right? It's Coca-Cola who built the business on the back of keeping the Coke fresh and cold in a fridge that did really well. And I think that that's his thesis, is that like the AI is going to be like the refrigeration system, and that people are going to build the Coca-Colas. And so if that's the case, then what is G42? Is G42 going to invest into the Coca-Colas in the region around AI, or whatever? And I don't think we know much about it, and I think time will tell.
I agree. Time will give us more information. And Abu Dhabi do kind of, especially Sheikh Tahnoun, he does tend to work on a lot of projects that end up becoming extremely successful, but very much on the down low. Anyway, we do have a little bit more information about this. So this deal will see G42, the Abu Dhabi company, use Microsoft's cloud computing platform Azure for the development and deployment of AI services. And it's also that both companies do plan on building data centers in other countries. So that's a nice partnership there. And they're going to support a $1 billion fund for AI developers as part of their partnership. So that's a little preview.
Yeah, that's really good. Really good to know. I think G42 has a healthcare arm as well, so maybe we'll see a lot more development on data and healthcare. It's like you said at the start, it's exciting. They divested, they moved away from their investments in China. They're sort of moving into investing in the region more, and it's good to see FDI 1.5 billion coming in from the US rather than going the other way around. So great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. The Four Seasons have launched their own private plane, and it will set you back only $115,000 a day. Once booked, the Four Seasons team members will help design personalized itineraries utilizing their local expertise, and guests can explore filming locations, attend global sporting events, or enjoy festive vacations and themed trips, all customizable with guided tours and exclusive access. No, thank you. I've been on a private jet once. I can do so much more with that money if I had it. But jokes aside, I've been on a private jet one time in my life for an interview, and it is so claustrophobic. I don't know about you, but I would prefer to sit in first class or something, even though I've never sat in the most I've done is business class, I'll be totally honest. What about you, Richard? What do you think? Would you ever, given you had that much money to spend, would you do that?
Not for the experience, maybe for the efficiency. I would see the benefit of moving travel fast. Yesterday, people were joking about helicopters, and if you want to see someone at the other end of the town yesterday, you couldn't do it. But with flying cars in Dubai in the future, you will. A lot of people move around America in private jets. It's a big business, it's a big industry. There's been a lot of private jet startup companies that you get time
FedEx
on.
is great. Yeah.
A lot of ones like that. What I just want to talk really about Four Seasons over there, because I think they've done such a good job. Like, we've seen master hotel luxury brands go into residences. Like, this has been a theme. We've seen a lot of that.
Yeah.
Roger Federer actually stays in the Four Seasons residency in the UAE. Like, we've seen a lot of stuff like that, right? But have you seen White Lotus? Do you know of it?
I saw half of the first season and I just got bored to death, honestly.
So it's a phenomenon. It's an absolute phenomenon. The first season was in Barbados, and the second season was in Italy, and the third one has just been finished shooting in Four Seasons Koh Samui in Thailand, and already the Americans are there. Like, it's just unbelievable impact. Like, that one show, it doesn't even say Four Seasons on the show, but it's changed luxury travel. So they've mastered the way of getting into streaming. They're now doing airlines. They're doing residences. So whatever they're doing, it's working. Like, they're
Yeah.
really upgrading the brand. I obviously looked at this headline and I thought, like, that's gonna flop, right? But
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
other thing that I thought about the
Listening to
headline,
that, it's, yeah.
the other thing that I thought about the headline and the And the visuals is that it looked very like the colors looked really like what Riyadh Air are trying to do, like whatever that word is called for outside the plane, like that purple
Yeah.
color. What's it called? Not the what you call branding outside a plane, but yeah.
I have no idea, Richard, but what I'm just wondering about is you have such a short attention span, and how did you sit through the White Lotus?
I watched it on planes. I watched it. I watched it twice on planes.
You
I don't really admit liking the White Lotus, but I was just fascinated by it. It's a bit gossipy. It's like relationshipy. It's backstabbing. It kind of hooks you in. It's good storytelling. And also, every now and again, I do like to see. Like, I haven't watched all those Netflix ones that everyone talks about. The one from Korea and. I don't, but I'd love to know them. Because I think so much. If you tell me, Lubna, that 1 billion people watch something, I want to know what's in their minds, what their reference points are from a cultural. So I'm really curious. I'm really curious to see why the American youth, like 10 years ago, they liked Gossip Girl. Why the American are Breaking Bad or whatever. Or now they like White Lotus, and I'm really curious to see why. And what it says about society today, what it says about relationships and fidelity and infidelity and all that sort of stuff. And it's very prominent on it. Like, it basically says it doesn't exist and many things like that. And not an expert, but I'm really curious from a media point of view of what people are consuming. I'm not actually watching it for escapism and for boredom or whatever. Like, I'm actually curious to see. And look at the story I just told. Like, no one would tell you that about White Lotus. No one would have linked the airline with the Four Seasons of White Lotus because no one knows. I do because I'm obsessed over this business stuff.
No, it's a good point, and I love that kind of link. I always thought the Four Seasons was an extremely boring and very much overrated brand, but I guess people love that kind of beige, that ultra luxury, expensive for nothing kind of thing. I don't know. I don't mean to talk badly about the Four Seasons, but there's just something extremely overrated about it, for me personally. But anyway, it will be interesting to see whether this does work or it actually flops. I don't know. I remember another hotel. I can't remember which one it was, but I do remember them launching something similar to this, and we haven't heard about it come back like since. So I don't know. Let's see. It'll be interesting because the kind of people who pay for this already have their own private jets, already have their entourage. I don't know. Four Seasons in the sky. Maybe. It's interesting. We're running out of time. But
If
this has been
they do a flight press tour, maybe you can go on and get your
sure.
feedback.
You know what? I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say no. I'll be claustrophobic for a couple of hours. Yeah, sure. If the Four Seasons is listening, yeah.
All right.
Change mind.
Good to chat this morning, Lovna, and hopefully we'll be back in the office tomorrow.
Hopefully, yeah, hopefully. Or
Okay.
not. Or not. Thanks, Richard, for your time. Thanks, guys, for listening. Watch us on smashy.tv, or listen to us wherever you get your podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow, and stay safe out there.